times this year, we have discussed three major topics. The first of which being a lead pastor model. We could go to the next slide. As well as women as elders and admin and office services. So quickly on the lead pastor model, this is in regards to how our pastors, how we have pastors serving each congregation. So for example, the English ministry congregation. And our committee has recommended that instead of a flat structure, that we would have a lead pastor structure where there's a lead pastor that guides an associate pastor. So that's with the board right now. Another important topic, and I know this has come up in some membership meetings, as women as elders. So this will see our church embark on an exploratory process on this topic from a biblical and social point of view, leading ultimately to a membership vote in 2026. And then the third topic that we had assessed was how to properly organize and grow our admin and office services team so that they could better support us in an efficient and sustainable way while also taking into account any future ministry needs. So that's all I have for you right now. We'll continue to bring forth recommendations to the Elder Board, and we thank everyone for your input and support over the last several months. Thank you.
Thanks, Roscoe. We also have a Operation Christmas Child announcement, which is Eden and Ava, I believe. So I'll invite them up.
Operation Christmas Child is a project by the Christian organization Samaritan's Purse that has been sending shoebox gifts to children in need around the world since 1993. Started by Franklin Graham, the project aims to demonstrate God's love through these gifts and to share the message of Jesus Christ with the families and their children. More than 232 million children in over 170 countries and territories have received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox.
The project uses the shoebox as an opportunity to present the gospel in a child-friendly way. Children who receive a box may also be invited to participate in The Greatest Journey, a discipleship program. More than 24 million of these boys and girls have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior during this course.
Some suggestions on what to pack are toys, school supplies, non-liquid hygiene items, clothing, and accessories. You can also enclose a note to the child. Use a label on the top of your box to indicate whether it was packed for a boy or a girl and for which age category. Please also include $10 per box to cover evangelism materials and shipping, and you can also give online.
Feel free to use your own shoebox or pick up a box from the foyer by the church office and return it back to the church at the latest by Sunday, November 16th. For more information about the ministry of Operation Christmas Child and how to pack a shoebox, please visit the website for Samaritan's Purse Canada.
Thank you.
Awesome. Already Christmas announcements. Well, I want to let you know about a few more things that are happening around our church. One thing is that next week we're going to have a youth worship again. I think I was told the direct quote was to say, yo, next Sunday there's youth worship. But so if you're a youth, take note of that. That's going to continue on. Flip this. If you are a part of our facilitator disciple group training that's going on this afternoon, you would have signed up for that, gotten an email about it this morning. But if you're signed up for that, just so you know, we're going to start lunch at 12:45, so be in that room by then, if you want lunch, that is. This Wednesday, we're going to have an EMC ministry and budget sharing. So that's going to be here in the sanctuary, in person, and you're all welcome to come. And I encourage you to come, especially if you're a member of this church. I encourage you on Wednesday evening. It's going to start at 7:30 here. You can show up, and basically what that's going to look like is I'm going to talk for a little bit. The deacons are going to talk for a little bit. The elders are going to talk, kind of share where are we going, why are we budgeting what we're budgeting, and what's 2026 kind of going to look like for our church? So it's going to be an info session. Hopefully it's helpful for us. So I really encourage each of you, especially if you're a member, to come out to that. That's going to be Wednesday evening starting at 7:30. So please come out. Listen to us talk a bit more. It'll be fun. Last thing is about our church is holding flu vaccination clinic on November 2nd. So there's going to be more info about that, but if that interests you and you want to get that shot here, I guess you can postpone and wait till we have that here. So it's going to be more info about that. Again, please, I encourage you to read your bulletin. There's always a lot more information about that. But let me pray for us, and then I'll explain a little bit about what's happening here this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you are our Lord over everything. Here today, we just declare you as King, as head of this church. We just pray, Jesus, that you would guide us here. We pray that you would speak to us, even this morning, as we're going to hear stories about what you're doing globally. We just pray, Jesus, that you would move in our hearts, that you would convict us. What does it mean for us to join in your great commission? So we thank you, we praise you, we invite you into this space. In your precious name, amen. So this morning, you're probably all happy you didn't see the little pulpit stand here, but that was a joke. We have two chairs here. So today I'm going to invite up Kevin Chong. So back in May/June, he did a second trip to Cambodia, a missions trip, and we never got to hear from him yet. So this is something we like to do. We actually like to hear the stories of people that we have sent out to go on mission to make Jesus known around the world. So this is going to be a morning where we just kind of hear, what was he doing there? What's God up to there? And what's next? And then we're hoping to have some time for discussion groups and kind of talk about what does this mean for us as a church to be a sending church and even to get involved in what God is doing globally. So this week we're going to listen to Kevin, his stories, and then next week we're lucky to have Darren and Manaka are going to come and share with us. So Cambodia month, I guess. So Kevin, I'll invite you up.
Hello. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Now there we go. On. Welcome, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. We'll try not to turn this into a podcast. So.
Hey, I'm practicing for one right now. So.
Oh, okay. Even more so then. Okay, so basically how this is going to work, I'll ask Kevin a series of questions that I kind of asked him to meditate on about his trip, about kind of what possessed him to want to go on a trip again, what it looked like, what he was doing there, some things that stood out to him, even kind of get into what this means for us as a church. So I'm going to go ahead. This is going to be an interview. Hopefully it's not too intimidating. But yeah, this is a time for us to really hear what was God up to when he got to do his trip. So first things first, Kevin, we hear you went to Cambodia. Can you tell us when that was, why you went to Cambodia? What was the purpose of this trip?
Is it supposed to be intimidating for me or for them? So I went to Cambodia, I can't remember the days, May 22nd to June 14th, I think. I don't think I put it on the slides. Yeah, I made, oh, the button works. Okay, sorry, what was your question again?
What was the purpose of your trip?
So the purpose of this trip was kind of like, there's three big purposes for us, because it was kind of three big weeks. And then I'll talk about each kind of week. So our first week, we were there. Well, actually, before we even got there, the team that I went with, they all live in the East Coast. So they're all from, like, that Toronto, that area and stuff. So we had to fly. Well, I had to fly there first. And I met up with the team, and we kind of had a whole day of just kind of preparing ourselves and just doing a little bit more of, like, cultural stuff just in preparation for, like, what to expect when we get there, because our team lead, she spoiler. We actually met her on our first trip when we went with our ECAC team, so that's how I knew her. And then our other two team members have not been to Cambodia. So the team lead has lived there for like 5 years. She's actually, I can't say, well, she's actually living in Africa somewhere right now, which is not the point of this. But yeah, so once we did that, those training days, we flew out there. And our first week was kind of just, it was all kind of like cultural stuff that we had to do. And so we kind of spent a whole week going to all of their, all of Cambodia's kind of main, like, places people would go if you're, like, a tourist, but also, like, really, like, educational places that, like, so if you don't know, like, Cambodia in the 70s and in the 80s, like, they had a regime that basically wiped out, like, everybody that, like, could be a threat to that regime. So, like, you know, they were telling us that, like, even if you, like, wore glasses, like, they could kill you. So there's a lot of like generational like trauma in that country of just like hurt and pain with like their government and stuff like that. And so we did get to go to their prison, which was like the most notorious one. I think it was called Tuol Sleng. And yeah, and we got to like go, and it's weird because it's like it used to be a school, and then when that regime took over, they like turned that place into like a torture prison. And so it was like, it was really wild to like be walking in those places where like all that craziness happened. And then the other one is the killing fields. We went to that. Yeah, so like, this is like where they took all the people to go kill them. And it's not good. It's just like, it's basically just an open field with a bunch of pits and a bunch of memorials and stuff. And it's, you kind of like wear a headset like this, and they kind of, you go on a kind of little bit of a walking tour, and you just kind of watch, and you know, it's like really chilling. But like, I think it was super important for us to like do that so that we could have kind of a better perspective on the people that we're going to be serving and stuff. And then there was some more like lighthearted stuff. Like we went to a language class on the mornings of that first week. And like, so it's kind of crazy because it's kind of a hard language, and we tried our best. And my teammates were kind of like freaking out because they're worried they had to like use it and stuff. And then we actually did have to because they took us into the marketplace and we had to like buy fruit. And yeah, that was kind of hard. what other pictures are there? Oh yeah. Is this a laser? Oh, it is. Oh, I won't use it on you. Yeah, so like these two pictures are from like the royal palace. So we got to go and take a little bit of a tour there, and you know, just kind of learn more of the history of Cambodia and stuff. What else do I want to talk about here? Okay. Oh, this is still week one. Oh, perfect. Oh yeah, that's one of our teachers. His name is Pitu. He took us into the market and made us buy fruit. Okay, so Crossworld is the organization that I went with. Again, Tim, if I just keep rambling, just reel me back in. No, I want to talk about Crossworld first. So the Crossworld workers, so I went with an organization. They're a North American missionary organization. They have kind of headquarters all throughout the world, so they have kind of an Asia base, a South America base, a European base, Africa base, and so we got to meet all of their staff that is on, well, most of their staff that is on field in Cambodia, and man, all those people are actually so amazing. Like, for context, just for fun, for like this entire week, like besides like Pitu and like some of the guide teachers, I was basically just around women for an entire week, and that kind of that got really hard, got really difficult, because like sometimes I just want to like bro out, and you know, all those women are just there to talk about their feelings, and I'm not like generalizing here. That's actually what happened, and I was just done processing. I did not need to do that anymore. So all the Crossroad workers, they're all women, but they're all amazing. I love all of them. They kind of are so, their ministries are very interesting because they all kind of, they have all these different stories of how they ended up there. And they all kind of had an idea of what they wanted to do here, or do in Cambodia, but then, you know, God's plans are kind of crazy sometimes, and so they're all uniquely in these different, like, realms of ministry, and so you have people who are in, they do, like, art therapy, there's a cook, there's someone who does community formation, someone who works with, like, the communities with, like, disabilities and stuff, and so it was cool to, like, go and see and just kind of be a part of and hear their stories of their ministries and stuff. So that's Crossworld. I talked about, that is not supposed to say Slife. That's supposed to be Life. Tim. That's okay. Yeah, language classes. What else is here? I don't know. Do you want me to move on to week 2? Sure. Okay, yeah. And then, so in week 2, we actually, so in week 1, we were in Phnom Penh, which is like their capital city. And then in week 2, we ventured out into the rural parts of the country. And so the village that we were, not the village, the town we were in was called Kampong Cham. And so there we met two very lovely missionary couples. One of them is, they're a local couple from Cambodia. I can say their names. Yeah, I can say their names. It's fine. Pete Sal and Sapon are from Cambodia. And then the other couple, their names were Mono and Fika, and they're actually from Indonesia. And so their stories are wild. Like, I wish I, like, asked them to share and I could have played a video or something. Oh, that would have been so cool. Anyways, so yeah, we partnered with them for this week, and basically, they do a lot. We went on 4 village outreaches, and so during those outreaches, we kind of just, like, hopped in with the team that they kind of have there, and it's all just, like, people from their local church, and, you know, we drove anywhere from, like, an hour to, like, 2.5 hours in this, like, van where we're all just, like, cramped in there, and there's, like, kids in the van, too, so we're all just squished in there. And we would just go out there and kind of, our kind of programming that we did was, we talked about the creation story of, like, how God created the world in 7 days. And then we sang some songs and told some stories and just kind of hung out with them. So we went to 4 different villages for that. For one of them, one of those villages, before Mono and Fika got there, like, no one has ever heard of, like, the gospel or Jesus or anything. And so I forget how long they've been in that particular village, but we got to go and see the church that they built. So they kind of planted a church in that village, and that place is, like, kind of thriving. And it's an interesting dynamic being in those villages because the men in those villages, they're kind of, like, you can just sense that they're, like, super skeptical. So, like, when you pull up, it's, like, kids are, like, used to it, and, like moms and grandparents are all there. But then you can just see, like, men kind of hanging out about. They're, like, kind of curious, but they're kind of just, like, and they're just kind of hanging out there. So it's an interesting dynamic. But it was a lot of fun. Pete Sal also is a pastor, and he also runs a preschool out of his church. And so we got to spend some time there. We taught some little kids, like, classes, and got to teach English and things. And up in that picture, we were preparing, like, care packages for the villages. So then, you know, we did our thing and then gave them some stuff with books and like healthcare things and just fun toys and stuff. So we got to, yeah, that hurt my back sitting like that for hours, but it's okay. What else is in this picture that's fun? Oh, yeah, we did a little bit of, like, soccer ministry. It was, like, a friend of Pete Sal's. And so we went to, like, this indoor place. No, it's not indoor. It's outdoor, but there's a canopy because you can't really play outside without covering because it's so hot there. And they had, like, 2 fields going on. It was just turf. And then we just, like, played soccer. And there's, like, some, like, higher-level players that were there just hanging out. And then, you know, I spent more time with the kids because that's kind of what I do in the summers. And so that was kind of week 2. So it was about serving, and it was a cool change of pace to go from the busy city life of Phnom Penh to now, like, a really chill rural setting in Kampong Cham. So that is the church that they started, and so we kind of did a thing, and those are all the people that are there. That's a different village that we were at. A lot of these villages are like outside, so a lot of the ways that the villages kind of set up is like most of the people will be do the living up top, and then you have kind of like an empty space below, and so that's kind of like, it'll just be at some guy's house, basically, and all the people will just come, and then you just kind of hang out in what is essentially their front yard. So, and then that's the preschool that we were at, and that's also a village that I took a picture of. Oh, sorry, wrong button. Oh, there's more. Oh, I forgot I did this. Yeah, more villages, more kids. That's the preschool. That is Pizzao. Actually, if I go back, this picture. Yeah, that is Pizzao. I love that guy. He is so awesome. And then that is Mono. He's also really cool. That's week two. And then week three, we got to go back to Siem Reap where we were at last year with our PCAC team. And so we got to, our team lead actually did most of her mission work out of Siem Reap, so we got to go to see some of her friends and her ministries, but then we also got to go and reconnect with Darren and Echo, who are coming next week. And we just got to hang out in their village and hang out in their sewing center again, which I'm like we hear about all the time now. And so for me, that was like pretty awesome to just get to reconnect with them. And there was one day where I think the rest of my team went out because they did another like village outreach thing. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm dead. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. And then Darren and Echo were like, hey, why don't you spend the day with us? So then I kind of got a taste of like a day in their life and just kind of followed around with one of their pastors on their like team. His name is Ratanak. He's now in charge of like a bunch of their ministries and stuff. And he also runs like a men's like Bible study group with some of their workers. So I got to tag along with him and kind of just see what he does. And then we kind of like called it an early day because he was like, oh, it's hot. I'm bored. I'm tired. And then he just took me to like go get like a foot massage. So me and him just hung out. Yeah. And like he didn't have the cash, so I gave him the cash and then I didn't get the change, but it's fine. So these are pictures from this year when we went. And yeah, so we got to play games with the kids. We sang songs. Yeah, it definitely felt very at home when I went back. Some more pictures. We took lots of pictures. Actually, a guy that took these pictures, he's actually from Calgary. So he's working with Darren Monaco, and he's kind of like their film and social media and kind of communications person. So that was kind of interesting to talk to him and, you know, just chat. That's not at the village. This is at some restaurant. But that's Ratanak, and yeah. Spoiler.
That's great, spoiler. I'm actually going to skip ahead to the next one.
Okay.
Kevin, hearing you talk about kind of the, like, generational trauma, and many of you who kind of listened to the reports back from our trip in 2024 that our church did, we heard about this, that in Cambodia there's so much generational trauma, and if you recall the ministry of Darren and Monaco especially, really working with people who are in such deep poverty that like we couldn't even imagine the kind of lives that they live. So, Kevin, I wonder if you could speak a bit to just the need to have missions going on in Cambodia, maybe where, I know in 3 weeks it's hard to see a massive impact, but the people you were working with, what kind of impacts do they make in Cambodia?
Do you want me to skip to that part of the question? Yeah. Oh, that's the other one. Like you said, it's a short-term mission, so it's kind of like, you know, what impact can you actually have, right? And this was something like I kind of wrestled with and meditated on too, just even before, I guess I'm kind of answering your other question too. Well, I'll make it work. I was kind of like trying to figure out like why I even like wanted to like go back, right? And that, you know, I was struggling with like, I enjoyed the first trip so much. And I was like, I just want to like go back, and you know, I had experienced like a type of joy I never like felt before, and I was like, I want to go back. I want to go have some fun. And I was like, is that like enough to go back, right? But then like after like talking with mentors and people and stuff, I was like, you know, God has given us like these desires to do things like missions. And so I think like he actually wants us to go back and go experience it. And so to actually answer your question, there were times I remember in those village outreaches and like while we were spending time in like the rural parts, I honestly felt like there was like really no point of us being there sometimes because they had such a good team and they had a lot of things going on already and we're just kind of there to like, you know, help out, right? Because a lot of like this trip was very go, go, go. So it was very like, you don't really know what's happening. You just kind of have to adapt and just, you know, go with the flow. And, you know, sometimes that's not how I operate. And so sometimes it was tough. But as I was talking with actually Pete Sal and Mono, you know, the first two guys I really actually saw on this trip, they reminded me how, you know, us just being there, whether we really knew what we were doing or not, and, you know, like, we were all willing to serve and help, but us just being there is just such a massive encouragement to them. And so it's like, they are doing so many cool things, but it's hard. And like their stories, like, you know, coming from nothing, having to like ration out food for like a month just to like survive when they're being sent out by a country that wasn't even supporting them, and they like and had to come here, go to Cambodia and just like do ministry. And so I think the impact that we had was just like we got to learn things, but we also just got to like be in the lives of the people that were there and encourage them and kind of speak life into them. And, you know, I think that often isn't something that, like, you think of when it comes to impact because it's not something you can see. Like, you can see a church that's built. You can, like, see a family, like, come out of poverty or, like, you can see a family be changed by Jesus. But it's, like, just the encouragement of the workers that are there is very, like, difficult to, like, actually measure. So I think that was really cool for me. For like Darren and Monaco, they always got stuff going on. Like I get their newsletters and, I think they're like, I don't want to like say things that they'll probably say next week, but like, I know they're adjusting different things that they're doing within their ministries. And so they're always looking for people to go and help them with their like new adventures and stuff. They're expanding and shifting like priorities and stuff. So there's, you know, they serve a village that basically, before they were, like, able to partner with them, like, the families there basically just survived off, like, foraging off, like, a big dump dumps aren't alive, a dump that is next to, like, their village. And so now that, like, Darren and Monaco have been, like, serving there for, I don't know, I think, like, 10 years or something, you know, they've given a lot of those families and those women and those men, like, just dignified work. And then through those ministries that they have, those missional businesses, they're able to, you know, share about Jesus with them. And so there's always a need. It reminds me of a verse, actually. I think it's from Matthew. You can probably help me with this. I know, Matthew's a big book. It's that the harvest is plentiful, but there are not a lot of workers. That's from Matthew, right? Okay, thanks, Tim. Yeah, so that's kind of, when you think about impact and like what the need for mission is there, that's kind of what comes to mind. There's a lot of unreached people out there. Yeah. What pictures do I have? Oh, yeah, okay. That's a crossroad worker, and this is one of the missional things that they do. They work with people with disabilities. That's all the women that I got to spend a whole week with. Crossroad workers, missionaries, that's Mono. Yeah, that's all the village stuff. Oh, I like these pictures. And then, yeah, obviously, Darren and Mako. This picture is actually from last year. I just thought it was such a good picture. And then this was our team this year visiting their sewing center. Yeah. Oh, I did have it up there. Okay, well, you heard me say it already, so. Do you want me to read it? No, I'm not going to read it. Oh, Okay.
Spoiling again.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I mean, just reflecting on that, I think that's one of the reasons we really saw Cambodia as such a good field to go to, because there's such a, like, there's so many needs. Like, even you talking about the poverty, like, and I know how shocking it can be to see that, like, see a village where most of what they get is just from the dump to the side of the road. And, like, seeing that, but then there's so many different aspects of need, like helping people with disabilities and stuff like that, and even just reaching people with the gospel. So, yeah, so encouraged to hear about this. So, obviously, kind of jumping ahead to overview, now that you've had some time to kind of reflect on this second Cambodia trip for you, what are maybe a couple of just overarching themes that you really feel like God is highlighting to you that really stood out to you on this last trip?
Should I, like, say it before I switch the slides so it looks cool because I remember it? Okay. Oh, I'll say it. I remember the first one. So the first theme for me that I, like, took away from this trip was that when you go where God calls you to go, he is going to put people in your life that draw you closer to him. And so I felt this with our first trip, just, like, being able to work with our team and with Darren Monaco and different, like, people out there. But, like, on this trip, like I said, I was kind of struggling with, like, oh, should I even go or not? And, you know, obviously, God was like, you should go. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll go. And, you know, through that trip, like, I met a bunch of people that, like, spoke so much life into me. Like, I know one of the questions later on is, like, people that stood out. I kind of blend into that right now. Like, one of the crossroad workers that I met there, I don't know, she just understood, you know, things that I was saying. So that crossroad team, it's a North American team, but this missionary was the only other Canadian in that group. And so, you know, there's differences. And then she was also the only other Asian person on that crossroad team. So then, you know, we just, like, our team lead got us the time to, like, just go and hang out and go get coffee or whatever. And we just chatted for, like, I think it was, like, 5 hours. And if we didn't have to, like, leave that city, I think we could have chatted for even longer. And so she was, like, really important in just helping me to, like, process different things and just get me to actually think a lot deeper about stuff. And, you know, through that process, she's, like, recommended me a book. And she's always, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's, like, I appreciate those people. I'm super thankful for those people that, like, are able to, like, be themselves and be authentically themselves, but, like, they're also pointing you towards Christ. Because, like, we can, you know, the way that I talk sometimes, it just goes all over the place. But then, like, it all kind of, like, guides us back into, like, okay, like, why are we even here? Like, why are we doing missions work? And so she answered a lot of questions that I had, and it was really good. Yeah, so that's theme one that I had. If you listen to God, he's going to put people in your life that draw you closer to him. The second one was, so when we were out there, our team actually did a, like, team Bible study, and I think it was on 1 John. And in 1 John, it talks a lot about, like the light and Jesus being the light. And the theme of light actually just kept coming up on our trip. So whether that was, like, God is light, Jesus is light, or we are to be like lights for Jesus, like that. I don't know where it's from, but the lamp on the hill, that thing, right? It's Matthew again? Okay. Like, whether it's that or, like, like the lamp to, like, light your path, like Jesus is that light that way. Like, we're obviously going to, like, you know, a country with, you know, there's some dark corners in this country and a lot of, like, unreached places, right? And so I think it was interesting that, like, even if we went to, like, a local church where we didn't understand the language, they were preaching about how Jesus is the light. And we were just studying that. And so I think Jesus is the light was kind of like a very important thing that kind of kept popping up as we were out there. And I think I had one more, but I kind of added in late, so I actually don't remember, so I'm going to cheat. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I should have remembered that. Yeah, so prayer is powerful. So when we were in, like, the rural in Kampong Cham, in those villages, and we're hearing the stories of those two missionary couples, like, they basically came from nothing. And we're now, like, going into an environment where there's nothing they can do except depend on prayer. Like, prayer for them is the first option. It's, like, also the last option, because, like, that's all they rely on. And so, like, that's kind of what they teach those people, too, because, like, you know, you show up to these villages, and these people, like, basically have nothing, but you can see that, like, their hearts are full, because, like, prayer is, like, their number one option no matter what. Like, anything that happens, they go and pray. And so we actually, I don't know if I put in pictures or not, but I have, there's a bunch of pictures of us just, like, following around, like, Pizao, or, like, we do visitations, and we meet with people, and we just all lay our hands on them, and we just pray. And so, like, I think that was really cool to just, you know, it's so, like, natural. I think, you know, at least for me, like, I'm definitely guilty of this, where, like, I'll chat with someone, and they'll pray for me, and then I'll just, okay, see ya. And then we, like, I hang up the call, or we go, and then I'm like, wait, why didn't I ask to, like, pray for them, too? So I think, yeah, prayer is, yeah, you can never have too much prayer. So that's kind of, those are my three themes.
Thank you. I think, yeah, each of those stands out to me. I think that first one is so important. Yeah, if you can keep it there. That I think it's hard for us sometimes to answer God's call when he leads us. So I want to applaud you, Kaven, for listening to that and being aware of where God is leading you. And also, I love that idea that when we're actually obedient to God and when we trust in him and when we live how he's inviting us to that, that we get to know him a lot more. When we're living as Jesus lived, we grow closer to him. So I think that's such an important point. I feel like there's so many stories.
There's too many.
So I encourage you, please feel free to talk to Kaven more. But I kind of want to look forward a touch here as well. So maybe for those of you who were here last week, you kind of heard Kaven is going to be our youth director, and kind of looking forward. We know Kaven, he loves mission and he's involved with Athletes in Action and all of that. So I kind of want to just ask you specifically, like, what's next? What's next for Kaven?
Should I do slides again, or is that the next question? Oh, it's okay. We talked about all these people already. Okay. Can I, like, answer the question in a story? Okay. So once I came back from this trip, for me, like, the call to, like, missions was, it definitely, like, I'm a visual person too. So imagine, like, a light inside, like, an empty black room. Like, there's a big lamp and it's, like, turned on, and that just kind of represents, like, oh, like, this is something that's, like, on my mind a lot, right? And it's, you know, a light. But as I came home, I didn't really get a chance to, like, stop or do anything, because I came back, and then within 2 days, I was back out in Kansas City, because Crossroad has, like, a, what they call next steps. It's kind of, like, something for people who are interested in missions or current staff that they have to come back and, like, get ready for, like, re-entry or whatever. It's, like, a huge thing in Kansas City. So I went to that, and that was, like, 3 days of just nonstop, like, seminars and hanging out. And I made some new friends from Chicago, and we stayed up late and just talked about life. And then after that was over, I came back home, and it was apparently really windy in Denver. So then I was delayed, like, 10 hours on the way home. I got home at 5:30 in the morning, and then one of the people through Athletes in Action in Alberta was like, hey, I'm going to come pick you up at 6:30 because we got to go to Three Hills for our training. So I was like, oh, okay, I've just been gone for 5 weeks. I'll put everything away in an hour. I can go. It's all good. And so we went there. We had a week long of training, and then we went right into my summer camps, which is 8 weeks of just nonstop sportmen. So before all of that, even, like, all the camps happened, like, at training camp, I shared with, like, some of my coaches, you know, what I'd just been through, because, you know, I love verbally processing, and I trusted those people, so we talked about it. And they kind of gave me, like, the permission, almost, to, like, take this, like, package of, like, trying to discern what missions is for me, and just, like, let God take it, so that I could stay present as we went through our camps. And so God kind of carried that through, and I kind of, like, didn't throw it away, but, like, it was just in the back of my mind, and it was just kind of there. And so when the summer ended, I was slowly starting to pick up that process again of trying to, you know, like, what is missions? I didn't do a whole lot. I was really dead. And then just as like things were starting to like pick up again, then I started hearing whispers of like change in our leadership here, and you know, this opportunity that was coming up, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I have to, you know, people are telling me to go figure out if you want to do this or not. So I was like, okay, well, I guess this is kind of now the priority. And so like that was hard. I'd spent a lot of time just praying and trying to discern what this thing was. Ultimately, I felt that God was leading me to this position. I still really have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm excited to learn and to get to know all these like amazing leaders that like we have in our youth and all of our kids and stuff. And it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it. The thing about missions is, I'm gonna tie it all back. After our 55th was done, we were at the hotel, and then Pastor Miranda came up to me, and she was like, "Hey, like, welcome to the team." And we just were chatting, and then just kind of like all of a sudden, she was like, "Hey, so have you thought about Cambodia again?" And I was like, "What?" And as soon as she said that, like that lamp that was in the back of my like head just like kind of shot right up to the front, and I was like, "Right, there's like more to this." And so we were talking about just mission stuff, Cambodia stuff, stuff with our church, possible teams in the future and things like that, and just kind of, you know, just joshing it up. And so there, missions was brought to my attention. And then the next day, I actually had a call scheduled with the missionary worker from Crossroad that I connected with really well there. And we just had a Zoom call, and we just caught up and shared about life. And I was like, oh, missions in Cambodia's coming back up again. It's kind of weird. So I started the actual position last week, and then I was thinking, I was like, the first two Sundays that I am technically on staff is right now, where I'm talking about Cambodia and missions, and then next week, Darren Monaco are coming, and they're sharing about their stuff, and so I was like, I think God is trying to tell me something. So it's, you know, opportunity is going to be a lot of fun. But this thing will always be kind of, for now, like, God was just, I think he was trying to remind me that, like, hey, this is still something that's really important and that you should continue to discern and to think about. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was a great update. Looking forward. Yeah, really, you're starting this one-year role with our youth, but missions, especially Cambodia specifically, is really, really on your heart, so... Okay, before we close off here and pray, is there any quick last words of wisdom that you have for us?
I thought about this. I don't have last words of wisdom. I only have words of gratitude and of thanks, because there are so many of you that have supported me and prayed for me, like before, like in our first trip and then in my second trip as well. And so I'm just very thankful that like I am a part of this community that cares so much about Jesus and about me and about the missions and all that stuff. So, you know, as it's interesting, because like all these people that have supported me, like all of you guys that have supported me in on these missions, is now the same community that I get to like explore ministry and to like serve alongside you. And so, please don't stop supporting me. Yeah, that's my last words.
Thanks, Kevin. I know this is a different... Chloe started clapping. You guys can clap.
You guys
can
clap. That's fine. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
I know this is a different kind of Sunday morning for us. I think this is so important, right? It's one thing to preach on missions, and what a more important thing to actually hear the stories of going out. So I want to pray here. I want to pray over Cave, and I want to pray for us that we would continue to reflect on this. And then my hope is that we have some time to just quickly discuss this, even 5 minutes, 7 minutes to just discuss this, even reflect in your group. What does it mean for us to be a church that sends people out into the world? How can we get involved? Where is God maybe pressing this on your heart? So why don't we pray here? Well, Jesus, we just pray over Kevin here first. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you continue to walk with him. Jesus, we know you tell your disciples that you go ahead of them, and we just pray that you would continue to go ahead of Kevin. Wherever you lead him next, even this upcoming year here at this church, would you just lead him in that? And would you continue to
encourages heart for missions. God, we just pray for us. Holy Spirit, would you just speak? Where are you leading us? How can we get involved, even in little ways, maybe with prayer or support? God, where do you need us to go? Would you speak to us, and would you give us a heart to obey? So we thank you. We invite you into our worlds this week. In your precious name, amen. So we have a couple of just discussion questions if you want to just find a group of people around you and just kind of work through this a little bit. What's standing out to you? Maybe you feel like there's something on your heart or reflecting on what it means to be a sending church. And just take a few minutes with these, and then we're going to close with one last song.
Can I take those off now?